Eagles hate them with a passion. Eagles hate everything with a passion, and unfortunately, quite a few of our drones have come to grief. The drones are sitting at 400 feet, so about 120 metres above the ground.
Yeah.
An eagle will chase it to start off with, and you can generally get away from the first attack. Then the second time the eagle has learnt, so it'll go up to about a kilometre, and then drop in on you from the top. If you can get away from that one, which is a bit more heart-rending, then they come in pairs, and they'll attack in pairs and basically take you out on the third go. So
it's like a dogfight.
It is like a dogfight. We've had up to 9 eagles at one time chasing a drone. It can be quite interesting, especially as they're $40,000 bits of kit. It is a uniquely Australian thing as well. There's nowhere else globally that has the same issues. We just have particularly large angry birds.
It's the word on everyone's lips in the tech industry at the moment. Drones. Also known as unmanned aerial vehicles, or UAVs, drones are steadily getting cheaper, quieter, and more advanced. Drones are being used in all sorts of ways, from parcel delivery to filming Hollywood blockbusters. But these applications are just the beginning of what might soon be possible. I'm Dr. Graham Phillips, and this is Leading Ideas, an original series from Ford Ranger, Triple M, and Mix 94.5, helping you work smarter. In our first episode, how the development of drone technology could change the world in ways we never imagined. James Rennie is the director of Australian UAV, and his company's been developing and investing in drone technology for years.
So do you think drones are really going to transform a lot of businesses?
Oh, absolutely. We look across each different industry and sort of assess it as to whether it's going to make it more economical, faster, better data, or safer. And if you can tick off on a number of those different things, we can see that there's a definite application there in that particular industry.
So give me an example. How would you use it in the construction industry?
Construction industry, you can 3D model a building. So if you're looking to, say, redevelop a particular property, we can 3D model that whole building and put that into a design software. And then that designer can use that to then replicate and visualize what the new building might look like.
James's company has worked in a number of different industries that have been improved by drone technology. So, what are some of his favourite projects?
Where do we start? I think my favourite project so far was doing the first trials in Antarctica. So flying off the Antarctic icebreaker, the Aurora Australis. So that was good fun. But in terms of the actual technology side, the tree counting's been great. We're doing air quality monitoring as well from drones. We've had some inquiries about water quality monitoring as well. So flying out to the middle of lakes, dropping down, sucking up water and bringing it back. We're doing work with the quarries and the mining companies as well. So that's about 3D modelling and working out the volumes of material that are coming out. So typically a ground-based survey that will take 2 days can take us 20 minutes.
Right. That's some improvement.
Huge efficiencies there, yes. Some of our landfill clients, for example, have reported that because of their increased ability to monitor the compaction rates on their sites, they've actually got a 10 times return on investment. So for every dollar they're spending on their drone surveys, they're receiving a $10 benefit in return.
I'd be happy with that.
I'd be very happy with that as well.
And what about, say, in forestry?
So in forestry, we've developed up counting algorithms. So we can fly over a forestry coop. And last year, we counted around about 7.5 million trees. So we 3D model each of the trees. We can tell you the tree height, the tree canopy diameter, and also put a point on the top of each tree as well. So ideal for survival counts or finding out what sort of yield you're going to get from that plantation forest.
So how would people have done that in the past?
Typically,
well, they wouldn't have.
No, they were. They were walking out into the fields and effectively counting a group of trees and then extrapolating that out across the plantation. Whereas by using drones, you don't have anybody going into the forest and getting slips, trips and falls and, you know, the various other snake bites and things. So it's a lot safer than putting people into the forest, but also it's a lot quicker. We can do up to 1,000 hectares in a day.
There are many other areas being affected by drones, waste management, and even the solar energy industry.
Solar lends itself really well in two aspects. One is that large area land surveys, so up to 1,500 hectares we can cover in a few days, which compared to traditional means, it's obviously a lot more efficient.
So why do you need to do the surveys?
So these surveys are really about land surveys for the design of a new solar farm. So we've worked on probably 18 solar farms in the last 6 months. Then there's the post-construction, so really looking at the thermography of the solar. So each photovoltaic panel to assess whether that's actually generating the right electricity or if there are any faults in there, you fly over with a thermal camera and you can assess the defects. So you can do about a 20 megawatt solar farm in a day.
Okay, so you fly the drone over the solar panels and
yes.
with a heat detector.
Mm-hmm.
And if there's not enough heat, then the panel's not working.
Funnily enough, it's converse of that. So if you get hot spots on the panels, that's an indication that there's a defect on that particular panel. So you get these, if you imagine an orange thermal image with bright yellow dots on it, so the bright yellow dots are where it's a very a hot particular cell on that panel, and by assessing that, we can identify where panels are not actually producing electricity.
James believes the potential of drone technology is enormous, judging by the sheer variety of applications he continually comes across.
Recently, there's been quite a bit of interest as well in feral animal population monitoring. So using thermal cameras to fly over to monitor deer populations, for example, where the feral animals are causing damage. We've got a project at the moment which is possibly looking at pig populations. So the thermal camera stuff is really starting to kick off as well. But also anything to do with high up things that you're trying to assess. So roof condition assessments, for example, a very large part of the business at the moment. So whether it's roofs, fascias on various buildings, the sky's the limit, as they say.
So do you think there's going to be a whole new industry in drones? There'll be a whole lot of new jobs that come out of that?
Oh, absolutely. And that's borne out by the growth in the last 5 years. So some published figures from CASA recently, I would have been round about number 150 to get my remote pilot's license 5 years ago. There are now well over 6,000. I think it was 6,700 people with
right.
REPLs before Christmas. So, and that number is going up all the time.
So it's exploding, really.
It is exploding.
And what about those pesky birds that love to attack drones mid-flight? Well, James has got inside the mind of an eagle and come up with some special evasive manoeuvres.
We've learned that effectively the best way to escape from an eagle is to climb. So the eagle is really good at descending onto its prey, but once it gets within sort of a couple of metres, and you really do need to wait for that last couple of metres, you hit the accelerator and climb. And by climbing up, they don't have the ability to climb very quickly, so they'll typically then leave, turn around, gain height with a thermal, and then come back and try again.
But drones are not just helping businesses reduce costs and saving people time. They're also saving lives. Jai Sheridan, a lifesaver with the Australian Lifeguard Service, was patrolling Lennox Head Beach in far northern New South Wales when he got a call at about 11:30 a.m.
from a member of the public that down the beach, it was probably a kilometre down the beach, so there was a group of approximately five or six people. So the two boys were out there and they also had another friend and girlfriends on the beach. They were swimming out of the patrolled area because the beach was shut.
The swimmers who were in trouble that morning happened to get lucky. Further down the beach, there was a drone demonstration in progress with the Department of Primary Industries, the DPI.
So DPI were funding the use of UAVs with surf life saving. So on the morning of the rescue, we actually had a media launch of the drones, so we were showing the capabilities. So later in the day, we were conducting training with the drones, practicing our drops. So we're actually practicing dropping the pods to patients on that morning.
When the call came through to Jai on the radio, the drones that he'd just been presenting flashed into his head. He knew he had an opportunity to save precious minutes by getting to the helpless swimmers using a drone. The hardest part was getting the UAV directly above the swimmers.
So we have a screen and it live feeds what is shown from the drone on the little camera attached. So the hard bit is getting the point of interest lined up perfectly in the middle of the screen. obviously the lifeguards went down on the beach. We had people utilizing the top floor of the surf club looking over. So they were able to guide me. So we had a UAV spotter. So they're looking for other aircraft in the airspace, but they were also able to liaise with other lifeguards and lifesavers in pointing me in the direction of the swimmers.
But from the air, it can be hard to pinpoint swimmers lost at sea, because all they are...
two little dots. It was just a coincidence that we were able to find them so quickly, but we did have the lifeguards up on the deck able to assist me getting there.
Once you've locked onto them, what do you do then?
Yeah, so once we're directly above them, we try and drop to about 7 metres. So this is still enough height to activate the flotation device, but it's not high up enough that we lose precision. So on this particular drop, as it was quite a rush, we were a lot higher than what we usually would be. But luckily that flotation device went straight to the swimmers.
I asked Jai what it was like to rescue someone at sea and remarkably never leave the safety of the sand. And he said...
I can't even put words to it, but it was obviously as a lifeguard for a few years in Lennox Head, I've done a fair few rescues, but this was special obviously because it was the first drone rescue. So it was quite surreal. I didn't really know how to feel, but obviously any rescue is important that these guys get to shore safely. So the overall feeling was we're quite happy. Obviously it was a world first, so I hadn't seen anything like it and I was quite shaky. It was nerve-wracking seeing these two guys in the water because obviously they're just bobbing heads in the screen, so we didn't know how much danger they were in. But once the flotation device was there and they were swimming into shore, we were all so happy that these guys were all right and able to get to shore safely.
When you were a kid, did you, you know, imagine one day you'd be using a drone to rescue someone?
No way, not at all. I didn't imagine that drones would ever be used in surf life saving, but that's not to say they're not a welcome addition to our life saving capabilities. But I just always imagine, you know, the really dramatic board rescue, paddling out, going through big waves, picking up swimmers by yourself. But yeah, this stuff's really great, having these drones on our beaches.
I guess a whole lot of new life saving jobs might actually come out of this kind of technology.
Yeah, that's a really great part. So it definitely expands surf lifesaving where people are able to be involved that normally wouldn't. So for those people that aren't able to complete their testing, so getting their first aid, their bronze medallion, etc., they'll be able to help surf lifesaving by doing drone patrols.
Do you see a broader application for rescuing people in disaster zones with drones?
Yeah, there's definitely a use for drones in all other emergencies, so flood rescues, bushfires, etc. Compared to conventional rescue methods, these are quite not only cheap, but also a lot quicker and easier to get up and fly.
Drones are being used in a wide variety of areas, some where you'd least expect them. And we've only just begun to see the applications. As James Rennie says, the sky is the limit. I'm Dr. Graham Phillips, and this is Leading Ideas, an original series from Ford Ranger, Triple M, and Mix 94.5, helping you work smarter. In the next episode of Leading Ideas, we'll be looking at the future of farming and how robotics could take us into the next agricultural revolution. Talk to you then. The views expressed during this series are solely those of the individuals involved and do not necessarily represent those of Ford Motor Company Australia Limited.